Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during July. As always, you'll see more of the night's offerings if you can find a wide-open spot that's far away from bright lights. It doesn't matter whether you go to a neighborhood park or trek far out of town. Anything you can do to get to a darker location will help. For us northerners, July is a time of long, hot days. When the sky is hazy and stagnant, you'll see that stars don't seem to twinkle very much because we're seeing them through relatively calm air. Astronomers refer to this as good seeing because what you see through a telescope looks steadier than would normally be the case. But when it's hazy, the sky's transparency, or clarity, isn't very good. Okay, it is time for a pop quiz. Is Earth closer or farther from the sun at this time of year? You might think it's closer because of summer's heat, but don't forget that it's winter right now for everyone living south of the equator. Anyway, midday on July 6th is when Earth reaches aphelion, the point in its orbit most distant from the sun. On that date, we're 1.7% farther away than on average. Now, for several months, I've been asking you to get up early to see some of the bright planets. Well, you can sleep in this month. All five of the bright planets will be making an appearance in the evening sky, though not all at once. Soon after the sun sets, look for Venus gleaming brightly over the western horizon. This dazzling planet has slipped past its prime in recent weeks, and you should start to notice that it's sliding a little lower in the evening sky as darkness falls. You might spot a considerably dimmer star lurking near Venus, especially around July 9th. That's Regulus, the alpha star of the constellation Leo, the Lion. Through mid-month, you can use Venus to guide your eyes toward the planet Mercury, which has popped into view to the lower right of Venus. The best nights to look are around the 11th and 12th, when Mercury appears farthest from the sun and thus will be easiest to spot. But by about 10 p.m., Venus and Mercury are both long gone, and the spotlight will pivot toward the giant planets Jupiter and Saturn. Jupiter is almost due south at nightfall, unmistakably bright, and rather isolated among the dim stars of Libra. It will slide noticeably toward southwest throughout this month. The king of planets is roughly halfway between the bright stars Antares, to its left, and Spica, to its right. Can you tell that Antares has a reddish tinge compared to icy white Spica? Spica is the alpha star in the constellation Virgo, the Maiden. But there's nothing particularly ladylike about this beacon. It's actually two stars whirling around each other so fast and so close that they've distorted each other into egg-like shapes. And it's a good thing Spica is 850 light-years away. It outshines the sun by more than 12,000 times with intense high-energy light. It's not the kind of star you'd want to have right next door to our solar system. And here's a little factoid. Spica is represented, along with 26 other stars, on the flag of Brazil. Antares has its own claim to fame. It's a red supergiant, about 550 light-years away, that's one of the largest stars known, almost 700 times bigger than our sun. In fact, if you swapped in Antares for our sun, it would take up all the inner solar system out to the orbit of Mars and then some. As you look at Antares, notice that it, in turn, is about halfway between Jupiter on its right and Saturn, which is off to its left by a little more than twice the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length. In late June, Saturn reached opposition, a point opposite the sun in the sky, and now it's creeping higher up when viewed at the same time each night. Saturn is in a great spot right now because it's perched right above a group of stars in the constellation Sagittarius, the Archer, that are shaped like a teapot. In fact, that's what astronomers call it, the teapot. The pointy top of its lid is just below Saturn. Below that, look for four stars in the shape of a trapezoid that form the pot. The handle is off to the left and the spout to the right. The whole thing is a little bigger than your clenched fist. This is a fairly distinctive star pattern, or asterism. None of the stars in the teapot is particularly distinctive, but they're all closely matched in brightness, and that helps the pattern stand out. If you're up late enough, keep an eye on the eastern horizon for a really bright star that rises between 10 and 11 p.m. and is well up by midnight. That's no star, it's Mars, or Maz, as we say here in New England. You're going to be hearing quite a bit about the red planet this month, because it, too, is nearly at opposition, getting there on the night of the 26th and 27th. Half a week later, on the night of the 30th, Earth and Mars swing nearest each other, 35.8 million miles apart. That's still a huge distance, of course, but the red planet hasn't been this close to Earth in 15 years. You won't have any trouble spotting it, especially because the stars around it, in Capricornus, are all relatively dim. Capricornus is supposed to represent a horned goat, but I always see its dim stars as a kind of paper boat with two pointy ends, bobbing around in the celestial sea. Mars is inside the right half of the boat, precious cargo indeed. So there you have all five bright planets. Mercury and Venus early in the evening, Jupiter and Saturn in prime time, and Mars offering a late night show. Let's take stock of the moon's whereabouts this month. It's new on July 13th, and 2 days after that you'll see it as a delicate crescent hanging low in the west after sunset and very close to Venus. They'll be about 2 degrees apart as seen from the east coast, but only half a degree, the diameter of the moon itself, as seen from the west coast. Look closely, and you might see more than just that delicate swoosh of the moon's crescent. Can you make out the entire lunar disk, including all of the real estate hidden in shadow? That ghostly glow is called Earthshine. It happens in the days just before or after new moon, when most of the side of the moon facing us is in darkness. Sunlight reflecting off Earth brightens the lunar night like a giant flashlight, enough so to make the moon's darkened landscape plainly visible to us. Leonardo da Vinci deduced what was happening and drew sketches of this phenomenon some 500 years ago. Yet, da Vinci's keen celestial insight wasn't appreciated for nearly two centuries, when a collection of his writings, known as the Codex Leicester, was rediscovered at the end of the 17th century. As the moon gets fatter and moves farther east, you'll find it near Jupiter on July 20th, near Saturn on the 24th, and Mars on both July 1st and the 27th. That same night, the 27th, the moon undergoes a total eclipse. We won't see it here in North America, but it will be a grand show across Europe, Africa, Asia, and Australia. If you think about it, a lunar eclipse occurs when the moon is at opposition, directly opposite the sun in our sky. And since Mars is also at opposition that same night, it makes complete sense that they'd be close together in the sky. Thanks for letting me expand your horizons for another month. In the podcast for August, we'll look for steam coming from a celestial teapot and what that has to do with the Milky Way. Until then, I wish you clear skies.